just out of the blue, I walk into my dorm there on the lake, Lake Junaluska, and a third of the people on every other bed, you know, just going back, were black men, young men. And I can't tell you how my body just went into all kinds of funny feelings. Like, I don't know what it was like approaching an accident when you didn't see it until you're right on it, and your whole body, the adrenaline just runs to the surface, you know. That's what happened. And all I can remember is that I must have been a great actor, because I just played like it was normal. What happened from then on is that I made a remarkably fast adjustment, and without a shadow of a doubt knew that I was in the right place and that we were doing what needed doing. We were an experiment. We didn't know it, but we were. And the experiment in the South. And the experiment was to see if we could integrate in the church with a sure understanding that we absolutely had to do that if we were going to be the church. Now, we might decide later that it's not nice to just put on a show, so you don't integrate everything everywhere just to integrate. But nevertheless, it needed to be said that our presence was the presence that represented an all-inclusive Christ, and that worked. We became fast friends all together, most everybody. And we'd see each other for years after that at conferences. We came from different parts of the South, all of which were segregated communities. So that was a turnaround experience early on after I finished high school. The other significant thing that happened to me was that I transferred from Auburn in my third quarter as a freshman to Birmingham Southern. That would have been 1960, January, February, when. And I had incredibly sensitive professors in religion and philosophy, which is where I tended to look for my major. They were all Methodist preachers with PhDs, and every one of them, including, by the way, the dean of students, Ralph Jolly. To a person, they knew they had to train a new breed of people to be in a new world. Well, it's understandable, because in 1961 or 62, 63, Birmingham blew up. The bombs went off. The demonstrations were mounted. And I crossed the very streets that happened on going to school up there to Birmingham Southern. I didn't live on campus. So when I would go through Birmingham on my way to campus, I'd look up on the tops of the buildings in downtown Birmingham. There'd be soldiers up there with guns like this. So this is all printed in my mind. And Dale and I, I've just jumped, you know, but Dale and I got married in 1963. So when we were going home, I worked as a youth director in local churches in Brentwood. I was going home one evening, one Sunday night, about 9 o'clock. We were crossing Center Street in 8th Avenue North, which was about a block and a half away from four or five prominent civil rights leaders who lived in that neighborhood near from Southern's campus. One of which was Arthur Shores, who was the lawyer for the first, for all the demonstrators, black. And another couple of crazy people. I didn't know the person that died. Anyway, we right at that intersection, a bomb went off. And like a bamboo, we just stopped dead in our tracks in my little Volkswagen. And we saw all these black folks start coming out of nowhere and going up the street in droves. I turned the car and go right up in between. I want to be there. Well, it was a black minister's house that they bought. Probably a Ku Klux Klan. Well, that was incredible. As soon as I realized what I had done, I said, the better part of wisdom is probably to get the hell out of Dodge and get over to the school, close the door, listen on the radio. And we did. We just kind of eased on through, and nothing ever happened. Well, in any case, I jumped ahead to just give that picture. Back in my first days at school, my first couple of years, my professors were young, bright, all except one. He wasn't young, but he was certainly bright and open. He did not advocate much of anything. He didn't talk in ways that you knew that he was disenchanted all the time, like my younger professors did. And so they became role models, heroes. And every way that I could think of, I'd attach myself, you know, to a situation that I hadn't been in it. And mostly it was teaching. I took ethics and religion courses. The social ethics course was the one that really turned me upside down. Christian social ethics. And Tommy Ogletree, who's now the dean of the School of Religion in the East, and the Ivy League schools. Anyway, he's the dean of a seminary up there, in the big seminary. And he's the dean of Harvard now. Yeah, he moved on up. Anyway, he was shot. He was from Birmingham. Grew up the same kind of folk I did. How much older he is than me, 10 years. Anyway, exposure to him and to an environment that would tolerate open and aggressive exploration, searching for an identity that was influenced by the faith. And they helped that happen without being pushy. They let you say no. They let you say, I don't believe it. They let you say, they just say, well, this is, you know, this is what's been, this is the story. and you can take it or leave it. We wrote extensive papers on issues. We did them, some of them together, you know, as classmates. And all of that served to raise consciousness and to hone the skill to think critically about the situations. You understand? Raising consciousness was a big issue because we mostly don't know. We were just kids. I mean, we didn't know nothing. So we did a lot of study, a lot of reading, a lot of writing. There were about three or four of us who decided that we needed to figure out what the application of that was. And so we, when there were things going on in the center city of Birmingham, we quietly got down there on the fringes of it and tried to infiltrate as white folk in the situation, and we succeeded in doing that. I can't tell you that we were a part of any of that. Elite strategy group, we weren't, but we did find our ways into the back doors of Gadsden Hotel, which was the main meeting place of civil rights leaders, and other black institutions that held secret meetings to consider strategy and to get a fuller picture of what was going on. And we didn't play much of a role, but we did sit there and we felt it. We listened to it. And that was extremely exciting to be in the middle of that. It still was on the edge, though. I can't say that I ever got myself in the middle of things where I was a critical actor. Not at least in the civil rights activities themselves. I think I became a critical actor in rather simple ways. Like, I was still a youth director in a quite suburban church. I had 500 young people under my guidance. And about 50, 60 adult advisors. And I was so naive that I didn't know you just couldn't push whatever you wanted to push right into their face. And it so happened the adults were quite wonderful people, and most part all of them. And the young people couldn't get enough. And one example of their coming of age a little bit was when at the end of the second year I was getting ready to go off to seminary, and we were still smarting from a lot of the civil rights stuff. We were talking about our policies as a church. Are we inclusive, exclusive? Why? How do we represent ourselves to the world? And there was a plaque in the vestibule of the church building that says, in effect, black folk aren't invited here. I mean, it wasn't a plaque, it was just a thing in glass. The policy of the church, passed by the board. And it became known to me that that plaque was missing. And before long, I found out that the young people had removed it. And I was secretly proud, but I said, that may not be the way to do that. It may be, but it may not be the way. You may want to put it back and then publicly challenge your elders to take it down. Well, it got put back. before they organized a challenge, though, somebody else took it and it never returned. That in itself, you see, is a little story that reflected my exchange with the environment and with the people in it. And my personal exchange, my professional, for that matter, you know, it was the place I was learning. I was a student minister, as it were. And those issues were not avoided. And we just didn't go and sing songs and play games, have programs on things that weren't comfortable. I was really lucky.